Hello, my name is Hayley, and I'd like to welcome you to this briefing webinar on the upcoming review of the Generic Named Supporting Organisation. Today's session will last for approximately 60 minutes, and we will have several presenters, starting with Ray Horzak, Chair of the Structural Improvements Committee of the Board, Jen Wolf, GNSO Councillor, and Lisa Gernick, ICANN staff. At the end of the presentation, there will be an opportunity for Q&A. If you're on the phone and would like to ask a question, please dial #3 and the operator will add you to the queue, or you can type your questions into the chat pod at the bottom of your screen. Should we run out of time or if you have additional questions after the session, please send them to matt.ashtiani@icann.org. This session is being recorded and links to the presentation materials will be posted to the announcements page of icann.org. You can also find the links in the pod titled Notes. Lastly, I'd like to remind you to mute your computer and phones whilst I hand you over to Ray.
Hello, everyone. This is Larissa Gernick. Ray, are you on the line with us?
Yeah, I was. Can you hear me now? I was speaking.
Now we can hear you. Thank you very much, Ray.
Okay. I don't know what happened. So I guess you all missed my brilliant opening remarks, so I'll have to try it again. This is Ray Polzak, the Chair of the Structural Improvements Committee. The topic for this morning is the GNSO review, and I want to spend a few minutes talking about what it is and what it is not, and I think I really want to start with what it is not. This is not an activity to discuss GNSO reform. Although in the course of conducting the review, there may be things that arise that could provide input into any type of a GNSO reform discussion that could take place. I'm sure as you're all aware that there are many things that are happening today that are going to affect the way the GNSO looks in the future. The most obvious one, of course, is the addition of new generic top-level domains and their associated registries and registrars. In addition, the transition of the oversight of the IANA function could have some impact on the structure of reforming the structure of GNSO. We don't know that yet. So, what are we going to focus on? We're going to focus on organizational effectiveness. The bylaws say that the reviews are supposed to do or could do one or two things. One is look at organizational effectiveness, and the other one is determine whether or not the organization should, in essence, continue to exist. We're not going to address that latter matter. We're only going to spend time with the organizational effectiveness. So we're going to look at what's the purpose. We're going to look at is the organization currently achieving its purposes? We're looking at the processes, for the means by which you go about doing the work, and we're looking at outcomes of these processes. We're not going to spend a lot of time on the policy development process, as ATRT2 did that, and so instead those recommendations will be incorporated into the criteria to make sure that things are covered. We're going to look at GNSO working groups. We're going to look at the GNSO council, GNSO stakeholder groups, and constituencies. And in the course of doing this, obviously, there are likely to be topics coming up that we regard structure. And so we will take those on. But, again, this is not a reform. One thing that the GNSO could start doing right now, in the fact that the strategic plan is about to, planning process is about to kick off, is to look at, from a strategic perspective, what things would have to be done to reform the GNSO. In that case, you would then be looking at getting things into the strategic plan, which would then go to the operating plan, and then obviously into budgets and so forth. But again, we are going to look at what we're looking at is organizational effectiveness. Later on, you'll hear some the aspects of what all of them involves. We're going to manage this in a clear schedule process. We're trying to get it done in an efficient manner so that we can get the implementation of the changes done as soon as possible. So with that, I'll turn you over to Larissa. Thanks.
Thank you, Ray. Appreciate your comments. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining this briefing. I'm Larissa Gurnick, ICANN staff responsible for the facilitation of the GNSO review. GNSO review is an important part of ICANN's commitment to continuous improvement. It is based on ICANN's bylaws requiring that each structure be reviewed on a five-year cycle. The current review process was designed to empower the GNSO to be a part of the solution and ongoing improvement. The involvement of the GNSO and the broader community is an integral part of this process. GNSO community will have opportunities to suggest and introduce change to improve its effectiveness. These opportunities will be through self-review within the 360 assessment, as well as direct involvement via the GNSO review working party and other interactions, and you'll be hearing more about this shortly. The review will be performed by an independent examiner selected through a competitive bidding process. It's expected to start on or about 1st of July. Throughout the review, the focus will be on the development of useful recommendations and manageable implementation plans and efforts. The objective of the review is to examine organizational effectiveness in accordance with objective and quantifiable criteria. The review will be conducted by an independent examiner selected through a competitive bidding process. An open request for proposal was issued on the 22nd of April, and we have expressions of interest to submit proposals from 10 parties. Proposals are due on the 13th of May, and the Structural Improvements Committee is expected to confirm the appointment of an independent examiner at their meeting in June in London. The review work will be defined by tightly scoped contract. Various work methods are expected to be used. At this point, I'm pleased to introduce Jen Wolf of the GNSO Council for a brief overview of the 360 assessment. Jen?
Thanks, Larissa. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. Well, good morning to everyone. Yes, it's my pleasure to speak with regard to the 360 assessment. Many of you are likely familiar with the term a 360 assessment. It's used very frequently in many companies and other organizations to allow for all of the parties involved with your work to provide some feedback. So the intention with the 360 assessment is to allow council members, the various stakeholder groups, and members of the community to provide feedback on how the GNSO is performing as a whole so that we're able to conduct this type of self-review of our organization. We will have a working party committee, which we'll speak about in just a few minutes, from the GNSO that will help to provide the guidelines and structure and scope of that self-review, and there will certainly be opportunities for the community to have input into what that 360 assessment will look like. So that is an important part of the work methods to the overall review. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. As Jen said, the 360 assessment will provide the examiner with data in the early part of the review. Additionally, the examiner will use available documentation, records, and reports to assemble and quantify the needed information. And this information will be used as the basis for formulating their findings and recommendations. The assessments of the recently concluded second accountability and transparency review team will also be integrated into the review work. Limited interviews will be conducted as needed in order to fill in the gaps in the information gathering. The review will be conducted based on objective and quantifiable criteria. These criteria will be refined within the next month and will serve as a basis for the 360 assessment as well as other data gathering and assessment phases of the review. In developing and refining the criteria, the Structural Improvements Committee will leverage previously developed categories and frameworks. To some of you, these may be familiar as macro-micro elements discussed over the course of the past few years. Elements that are applicable to this review will be selected from these categories. We're currently in the preparatory phase of this review. The review is expected to start on or about 1st of July with draft report presented at the end of September. Clarification and response by the GNSO community will take place in October. Public comment period during the months of November and December, with the final report issued in January. Once the Board of Directors accepts the report, the implementation phase will begin lasting for about 1 year, depending on the nature of the recommendations. The implemented improvements will be given a chance to become operationalized and practiced during the next 2 years. The impact of implemented improvements will be tracked and measured throughout the implementation and operation phase. However, in preparation for the next review cycle, the GNSO will go through a more formal effectiveness self-assessment. Here you have another view of the entire review process, with the three main components being review, reporting, and implementation. Conducting an effective review is an effort that will involve many teams. The Structural Improvements Committee will provide oversight, prepare recommendations for board action, and approve implementation plans. Staff will be responsible for the RFP, refining the criteria, implementing the 360 assessment, recommending an independent examiner, monitoring the process to ensure timely and effective progress, and providing support throughout the review. The independent examiner will conduct the review work, analyze and consider the outcomes of the 360 assessment, and conduct all data gathering and analysis activities. They will integrate ATRT2 recommendations and assessments, prepare a report and recommendations, and engage with the GNSO community for clarification and response to preliminary and final findings. The Structural Improvements Committee requested that a review working party be formed to serve as a liaison and to coordinate various activities, such as provide input on review criteria and the 360 assessment, serve as additional conduit for input from and request to the GNSO, its constituency, stakeholder groups, and the council, act as a sounding board to be able to offer objective guidance, reactions, and comments to any preliminary conclusions and assessments, and helping to ensure that the draft report issued by the independent examiner accurately reflects the GNSO structure, scope, and dynamics. This party will also coordinate with the GNSO community to prepare an implementation plan and champion implementation of improvement activities. And now I will turn this over to Jen once again for an update on the formation of the working party. Jen?
Thank you, Larissa. We have formed a small group from the GNSO Council to start this process, and we had our first meeting yesterday. We determined that it would be appropriate to schedule weekly meetings and to take to the Council in our meeting tomorrow the idea of expanding the scope to the larger community so that we would have more members of the community as part of this working party. Our plan is to have weekly meetings between now and the London meeting to assist in the structure and formation of the 360 assessment, as well as to determine if any sort of additional supplemental self-review would be helpful. To the extent we think further assessment may be helpful, we can make recommendations to the GNSO Council at that time in London. So that is our plan as the working party, and certainly appreciate any feedback from anyone in the community about the scope of who should be involved in that process. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. This concludes our prepared presentation. We would like to thank you again for your participation and open the floor for comments.
Hi, all. As a reminder, please remember to press #3 in order to get into the queue to ask your question.
Well, we're waiting for questions. I see that in the chat, Avery has typed several questions. First is, was the terms of reference of the independent examiner examined by the GNSO community? In Singapore, there were discussions with the GNSO Council about the scope, the proposed scope of the review, and Ray Polzak presented information which is quite similar to what we're sharing with you today. So the GNSO community was aware of the scope and the nature of the proposed review. And then there is a second question. Under report, I assume the board approve is not a predetermination, but rather indicates board review with possible approval for further consultations, and that is correct. Matt, can you please read the next question?
Hi, this is Matt for the record. We actually have another question from Evan Lubovich. Evan says, Ray, you say that this is not about GNSO reform unless it is needed. It is not reasonable that the review, having done its due diligence, will suggest modifications that constituted as reform. Please elaborate.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear the question.
Sure, that's not a problem. I can restate it. The question comes from Evan Lubovich. Evan says, Ray, you say that this is not about GNSO reform unless it is needed. It is not reasonable that the review, having done its due diligence, will suggest modifications that would be constituted as, quote, reform. Please elaborate.
I understand what Evan's saying. He's saying that the recommendations from the review could be construed as being recommendations for reform. And the answer to that question is yes. And so as what I was trying to get to was the fact that there needs to be a larger discussion with regards to GNSO reform, and the output from this review could certainly be fed into that reform discussion.
There is another question from Wolf. Is this small council group supposed to be the review working party, or are other GNSO members invited? And as Jen indicated, the invitation will be expanded to the entire GNSO community, and any member is invited to participate. Are there any additional questions? I see Philip is typing. Question from Philip. To what extent is this review of policy making and not just the GNSO? The second accountability and review transparency accountability and transparency review team had conducted as part of their work a review of the PDP, and that report and findings and recommendations will be considered as part of this review, but the work will not be duplicated.
Hi, this is Matt Ashtiani for the record. We have a follow-up question for Ray from Evan. Evan notes, thanks for the answer, Ray. Are there any plans to formalize the GNSO reform process during the lifestyle of the review?
Actually, I think that the impetus for GNSO reform should come from within the GNSO. I think that it's up to the GNSO to have a very, very large hand in working towards its own future. I think in the spirit of bottom-up community involvement that there should be a substantial look at that. Now, I can certainly, on my own, give you a number of things that I would see as being positive reforms for the GNSO, but that would be part of a larger process. So I'm sure that there are persons in the GNSO that have thought about reform, and I know there are some that are actually actively discussing it. And so I think it's a matter of the GNSO getting organized around the thought and trying to figure out strategically where it is they want to go.
Thank you, Ray. I think there was a question from Alan. A clarification on something that Jan said. It's their review working party membership would be open to any GNSO community member, I believe is what Jan meant.
Hi, this is Matt Ashami for the record. We have a comment from Jonathan Robinson for clarification. Jonathan notes, my understanding is that the group is proposed to extend the council group and be open to community members in order to form the working party.
There is a follow-up question from Alan. Jonathan or Jen, would either one of you like to clarify, please?
Hi, this is Jen. I think this was something that we do have slated on the agenda for the GNSO Council meeting tomorrow, was to clarify that exact point, whether it is the GNSO community, the ICANN community, and Aubrey had made a point too. One of the discussion points we had was how do we keep the group small enough to be manageable while also providing the opportunity for everyone to participate. So to answer that question, I think that is slated for discussion tomorrow among the council members to discuss.
Thanks, Jen.
Hi, this is Matt Ascione for the record. You've been able to unmute everyone's line, so if everyone can please use the queue if they wish to speak, and an automated announcement will go out in just a second once the lines are open.
Listen-only mode is now off.
So if you're muted and you wish to make a comment or ask a question, please press star 7.
There's a question. Could you describe in more detail? The question scrolled off my screen. Sorry about that. Could you describe in more detail, I believe it was the 360 assessment process. What is it and how does it work? The 360 assessment process involves several components. It's an opportunity to survey different groups of individuals to collect feedback. In this case, the assessment will involve the GNSO community in the form of a self-review, as well as questions will be addressed to the broader ICANN community, the board, and the staff. Questions will be developed based on the criteria that will be used for the GNSO review. It will be a user-friendly online type of tool that will enable a broad participation by people in all these different groups. The information collected through this process will be summarized and will be used as one of the data gathering inputs by the independent reviewer. There is a question, will the external processes that are underway be taken into consideration? If I could get a clarification as to what external processes are being referenced here, that would be helpful. There is a comment from Philip. This GNSO review is the most challenging ever as a function of ICANN's new stakeholders and the web of relationships between the old users and suppliers and that now exists. A typical user may be simultaneously a BC member, an IPC member, a registry, and have a supplier contractual relationship with the older registries for the back-end services. Will 360 assessment cover this? Thank you for that comment, and we will certainly consider the complexities of these relationships as we work through the 360 assessment approach. Are there any other questions? Well, thank you very much. It does not seem that there are any other questions at this time. Please feel free to contact either Matt Ashtiani or myself with any further feedback or questions, and we look forward to a productive review. Thank you very much.